When Pastor Ed told me or asked me to share this Sunday, I heard a word from the Lord, and this is the word, suddenly. Suddenly. And I was meditating all these days about this word, suddenly. And I want you to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. And it says here, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, like Pastor Greg said, fully obey. That's amazing. That was a great word for me. Because sometimes the day hasn't fully come. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. That means that there's days that are come here, they're going to be fully come. There's a day for RLCC family where when we're going to say, oh, this is, the day has fully come. Amen. I'm praying that the Lord is going to help us to get what he wants us to get today. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I remember one day, probably was 2001 or 2002, we were still a Rema students, my wife and I, and we were driving from the church to our house, which usually will take us like 2 hours with traffic in Mexico City. And I was just driving. There was a lot of traffic. And we were just talking. And I said, you know what? One day I want to go back to my town where I grew up and go there and just preach and tell people about Jesus. And tell them that God is not mad at them. And my wife, she's like, yeah. And I told her, but you know what? I want to buy a big van or a bus. And also I will have to have a driver, somebody that drives there. I don't want to drive. It's too far. Because it's like 6 hours from Mexico City. And she's like, let's pray. Let's get into an agreement and let's pray for this to happen. And we started praying. And I don't know if this happens to you, but when we start praying, I don't know, sometimes I find myself praying for things that I didn't thought I was going to pray for. And I'm like, what am I saying? I mean, you know, I'm going to try to explain myself. Like, you're praying, and you're in the spirit, and then your flesh kicks in and says, what are you saying? That's not going to happen. Stop praying that. And then in the spirit, you keep praying, and we're going to go there, and we're going to take toys and food, and we're going to bless the people. And then the flesh, come on, you don't have money. That's too expensive. It's not going to happen. And there's going to be hundreds of people that are going to come and listen to the word. And then your flesh says, no, that's not going to happen. Nobody knows you. You're nobody. And we're just praying. And the desire in our hearts back then was, we want to go there and preach the gospel. We want to go there and bless the people. I want to go there and give something to these kids that I didn't have back then when I was a kid. And I was just praying. And, you know, nothing happened after that night. Nothing happened for some weeks, months, probably a year or more. And one day I was talking to Pastor Tim, and I was just sharing this with him. I told him, I really feel in my heart, this is what I want to do. I want to go back to my town, Tulcingo, that's the name, and Chila de la Sal. And let me just make a pause here. There's people right now in that room, ROCC Español, from Chila de la Sal. And I said, I just want to go back and just bless the people. And Pastor Tim told me, he's really calm. He will never say, oh, yes, hallelujah, amen, let's do it. No. He just told me, you know what, that's really kind of you that you want to go back and bless these kids. Just do it. Let's plan a trip. And I'm going to show you a video because we started doing these events for so many years. I don't know how many we did. There were so many of them. And just we went to these towns because it wasn't just one town. You know that the Lord says, okay, you want to go there? I want to take you to more towns, more places, more people, more miracles, more blessings. And I know the Lord has blessed us as a RLCC family, but I'm telling you right now, today, the Lord has more things for us. He has more miracles for us. He has more wonders for us. There's more people that are going to be reached through this ministry for Christ. There's still more, more, much more. Amen. So can we play the video? It's only a few seconds.
Yo declaro, yo confieso con todo mi corazón que Jesucristo de Nazaret es mi Señor. Señor Jesús, te entrego mi vida, te entrego mi corazón y todo lo que soy. Señor Jesús, te doy gracias. De todos mis pecados, Señor Jesús, te doy gracias porque hoy me aceptas en la familia de Dios. Señor Jesús, prometo seguirte todos los días de mi vida. En el nombre de Jesús, amén. Un fuerte aplauso para ustedes.
That happened so many times, so many times. And I remember when I was standing backstage waiting for me to come and share the word of the Lord with these people. And I was just thinking, Lord, this is just amazing. You are just great. You are good. And you have a word for these people. That you are not mad with them. That you love them. And we did it for 15 years, many times. Many times. We will go to different churches. And now, I started telling you that we were praying that night, and I didn't feel anything spectacular. I didn't feel like, oh, yes, whoo, I feel there's like, I don't know, something different here. Now, I learned through the years that at the beginning of our life with Christ, there's more, he will speak to you, and it will seem more, if I can say, spectacular. But then... Exactly, as you get older, then it's not that spectacular. But he's still leading you. He's still talking to you. But now he expects you to obey, but you are expecting or waiting on the spectacular. And he's like, no, there's no spectacular anymore. You have to obey now. This is not going to be, oh, I feel shaken. And maybe we're in that season. And maybe some people are thinking, oh, he's not talking to us. Yes, he is. He's still talking. He's still leading RCC. And maybe, trust me, I was here in the 90s, and it was really spectacular. It was spiritual, and it is spiritual now, and maybe it's not as spectacular, but it's still spiritual. And the Lord is still leading us. I just want to encourage you today, the Lord is still doing things. And I remember praying that night, nothing spectacular, nothing. And then we waited, and suddenly I was in these churches, I was in these plazas, in different towns preaching the gospel. Hundreds, thousands of people gave their lives to the Lord. And I will come to these towns and I will talk to the pastors and tell them, we want to do an event here, and I will gather all the pastors from the towns, and I will explain them to them what is it that we wanted to do. And this is what they told me. Oh, people don't come to the events. We usually invite them, but they never come. You sure you want to do that? And I will tell them, well, that's what we want to do, because that's what I felt in my heart. And I will tell them, okay. And they will say, okay, let's do them. But I can see in their faces. How many of you know that you can see faith? Because that's what Paul said when he saw faith in the man. You can see faith. I'm not going to say now that I'm looking up some of you. But you can see faith, and I can see their faces saying, oh, okay, let's do it. And then I will tell them, okay, can you rent? Now, we're talking that towns that probably have 2,000 people, maybe 1,000, 3,000, 5,000 people. And I will tell them, rent 500 chairs. And I will get to the event, and they will only rent 200 chairs. Why? They did it because they didn't believe it. And I will say, where's the rest of the church? They're like, and we were paying for the church. They were not paying for them. They were not paying for anything, because that's what the Lord told me. Rema, we're going to go there and we're going to bless these people. And I will tell them, you don't need to pay anything. You just have to bring your people and have your church ready so we can fill it up with people. And they will come and say, I will ask them, where's the other 300 chairs? Oh, we thought since nobody comes, 500 is too many chairs. And then people started coming, and you will see the pastors and their volunteers running for chairs to get more chairs. And I will just smile. Looking at them, I said, okay. And you know what? Many of them told me, we have done this before, but nobody came. Some of them told me, I know this is of the Lord because people are coming. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't believe it. What I'm saying is that they were praying. And when the day fully come, suddenly now, okay, the Lord says, okay, now the day has fully come. And now things are starting to, miracles have started showing up. The Lord started doing miracles. One day, now, let me just wait. And these are really, some of these churches that I still work with them are really traditional churches or from a denomination in Mexico. They have like 3,000 churches in Mexico. And when you go to their churches, they the women sit on one side and the men on the other side. I really don't know why, to tell you the truth. And women, they don't wear makeup because they believe it's a sin. But sometimes I believe it's a sin not to wear it for some. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. And they're really close, you know. They're really I don't know if that's the word, where they don't let anybody else, any preacher to come and preach in their churches. They're really like isolated from other churches, only their denomination. But the Lord gives us favor. And whenever I go there, if they find out that I'm going to be there, they're like, can you come and preach in our churches? I was just there in April, preaching in a church in, I don't know where. I'm Mexican. I didn't know where I was at. And after I finished preaching, a pastor approached me and says, can you come and preach tomorrow at my church? I'm like, tomorrow? Today is Wednesday. Tomorrow? He's like, yeah. The services start at 7. Can you come? I'm like 2 hours away from here. And my daughter's birthday quinceañera is Friday. He's like, oh, yeah, but you can come. It's only, the service is not too long. And this is what one of the leaders of the whole movement, denomination, said. This is what he said. Pastor Enrique, he is one of the few pastors that he can come to any of our churches and he can preach there whenever he wants. And I'm like, that's the Lord. One day we got to a church, and I didn't tell them that I was going to be there. And we were standing at the very end of the chairs, the aisles. And I was standing there with my wife, and the pastor was already at the pulpit, you know, giving some announcement. He saw me. He's like, hey, pastor, how you doing? Welcome. And he's like, okay. So he started giving out his the announcements and the offering. He's like, okay, today we have a special guest speaker. And I was just standing there. I'm like, maybe he has somebody, you know? And I didn't have my Bible. And he's like, today we have a special guest. He always comes and blesses us. And he's with his wife. And she's got, that's what he said. She's going to sing for us. And my wife, obviously, she doesn't sing. And I'm standing there, and he's like, okay, so let's give a hand to Pastor Enrique. He's going to preach today. I'm like, do you have a Bible? So I'm asking my wife, can you? She's like, yeah, here's my Bible. And I'm like, you have to come because now you have to sing. He says that you. And suddenly, we're doing all these things for 18 years in Mexico. And suddenly, I'm here in ROCC preaching in Mexican English to you guys. But I just want to encourage you. Pastor Ed told me that Pastor Clinton said that RLCC will be known as the Spirit Center for the Nations. I'm like, wow. The suddenly of the Lord comes after a period of waiting or after a waiting season. Suddenly, this is how the Lord does things. That's why sometimes for our carnal mind, it's hard to grasp it. Because he's like, okay, a virgin is going to give birth. You're like, wait a second. That doesn't make sense. And he does this all the time. So I know we are waiting on a suddenly. I don't know about you, but I'm waiting on a suddenly for this church, for RCC Español. I'm waiting for that suddenly because he has done it so many times in my life, and he's going to do it all over again because that's what he does. And sometimes we think, okay, suddenly it's going to be tomorrow, and maybe it's not tomorrow. And suddenly comes after a waiting season. And many people get discouraged during that waiting season. People during that time think, oh, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. When I was, that night that we prayed with my wife to go and bless these people, in my spirit, I was thinking, I want to bring so much food. Because you already know me a little bit. I'm always thinking about food. I'm sorry. So when I was a kid, I didn't have, a lot of food. That's why I'm trying to eat as much as I can so I can catch up with those 12 years. So I was thinking, I want to bring so much food. And I remember one day I was in the office at Rema, and somebody called me. He's like, there's a guy from Veracruz. He wants to talk to you. Veracruz is in the Gulf of Mexico. And he apparently sells and grows beans and rice. I'm like, okay, I want to talk to him. And he's like, I want to make a donation for you guys so you can take it to wherever it is that you do. He wasn't a Christian guy. And he's like, call me tomorrow. Because I wanted to know, okay, like how many pounds are you going to give me? And he's like, call me tomorrow. So I call him the next day. He's like, he started the conversation like this. He's like, okay, I don't do this. If you want like a ton, that's like, I think 1,000 pounds, something like that. So my carnal mind already said, okay, he's just going to give me some 50 pounds. I don't know. He's like, I don't do 1 ton or 2 tons. The minimum that I'm going to can give you is 5 tons. That's 10,000 pounds or more. So he's like, do you want them? I said, yes, I want them. So he's like, now, my mind didn't know how much was 5 tons. You know, I know my mind knows how many pounds are 5 pounds, but not 10,000 pounds. That's a lot of rice and beans. He's like, okay, I can take it to Puebla. That's another city. Can you meet me there Can you meet my workers there? And I said, okay. So I rented a truck. I called a guy. I said, can I have a... he's like, yeah, let's take a 10-ton truck. I said, okay, let's take it. But again, I didn't know how much it was. So I just took two guys because we had to bring the rice from one truck to the other. And I had the driver. There was a driver. Remember I prayed for the driver? I had a driver. So here comes the driver, here comes the two guys that helped me, and he comes with his big truck, and I'm like, he's like, okay, just take your rice, take your beans, and bye-bye. So we had to do it. So I was there bringing the rice from work. It was just so much work. And then I said, we finished like, I don't know how many, probably an hour, 2 hours, I don't remember. So I called the pastor. I said, okay, we're bringing the truck with lots of rice and beans. I need the whole congregation to come and help us. And this is a true story. And I got there, a 6 hour driving. I was really tired. My back was just hurting a lot. And I was younger than this today. And we got there in Guerrero. And I called the pastor, okay, we are here. Where's the church members? So he comes out of his house. This is a true story. With 5 kids. 6, 7 years old. I'm like, pastor, where are the men from the church? He's like, oh, they're working. But I got some hermanos. Some. I'm like, these are children. I need some strong guys. So for 2 years in a row, this guy was donating so much rice and beans. The whole region over there, they knew, oh, Rema is coming. They're bringing the blessing of the Lord, the word of the Lord. It was amazing. Suddenly. Amen. And like I was saying, the Lord has spoken to me so many times, and it hasn't been spectacular. It has been supernatural, yes. One day, a guy calls me, and he's like, Pastor Enrique, I want to talk to you, because he knew me from the Bible college, Rema, but he was from another church, and he's like, our pastor came this Sunday, and he told us that he's leaving the church. So we don't have a pastor. True story. And he's like, can you come next Sunday and be the pastor and help us? And I told him, no. I'm not going there, and I'm not going to be your pastor. I already have a church. And he's like, so what are we going to do? I said, your son. He's like, my son he's only 18 years old. I'm like, and? Haven't you read the Bible? There was a king that was 7 years old. At least he's 18 years old. And I said to him, have you noticed that there is a calling on your son? And he's like, yeah, I know, but he's too young. I said, and? It doesn't matter. He can be the pastor. Now, I wasn't praying. I wasn't fasting when I was telling him all these things. I was in a town called Taxco, just taking some rest for the weekend by the pool, drinking piña coladas without alcohol, eating tacos. That's when he called me. And I said, your son can be the pastor. And guess what? That son today is the pastor in Rema, Mexico. When I left Rema, Mexico, he took the position of the pastor. And that was, I think it was 10, 12 years ago. Now, there was nothing spectacular. It just seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me. And I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, I hope she's not listening. No, just kidding. And I said, sometimes I feel like you don't trust me when I say things because I don't use the word I don't use the phrase, the Lord is telling me. And I said, sometimes I feel like people do that to me. Because I tell them like something, like an idea, and they're like, oh, this is crazy Mexican. Right now we own a flower shop. And how I became the owner? I don't know. There was just an opportunity, and I said, I'll buy it. And the person told me, okay, give me an offer, and I accept it, whatever is the offer. And I gave the offer, and she's like, I can't believe you're giving me that offer. That's so little. I said, but you told me, give me an offer. And she's like, and I'm going to accept it because I said, whatever offer you do to me, I'll accept it. And now I have a business. But that's the Lord. I wasn't like praying and, oh, I'm fasting now. I prayed, trust me. And I fast. And I need it. Now more than ever. And I read the word of the Lord. So I was telling my wife, sometimes I feel like if I don't say, Jesse, I feel from the Lord that today we should eat enchiladas. Then you don't believe me. Thank you. A lady came to my office one day, like 10 years ago or more. And she's like, I want to talk to you, Pastor. Since I was the director of REMA, she was a volunteer or a leader from another church, really traditional church. And she's like, I want to talk to you to get your counsel. And she's like, our church, our pastor, he's leaving the church. I think he did some things that weren't right. And she's like, and we don't know what to do. And I said to her, you be the pastor. She's like, me? I'm a woman. I'm like, and? She's like, but how am I going to tell, you know, the pastor? It was a mess. I said, do you guys have like a statutes? I don't know, written the laws that govern your church? She's like, yeah. I said, well, just read it. And I'm telling you, there's your answer. How to talk to this pastor and everything. Today, she's a director of REMA campus. She's the pastor of a growing church, amazing church. And she always comes to me and says, thank you, Pastor, for letting the Lord use you that day. Now, it wasn't spectacular. I wasn't praying the whole morning, just as waiting. I know, Lord, you're going to send a lady right now. And I'm going to, no. And I know there's a suddenly for this church. I know in my spirit there's a suddenly for RCC Español. I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, you know, people are weird. And she's like, and I told her, or maybe people say that I'm weird. And she's like, you are weird. Sometimes we shouldn't be asking some things. There was a young guy, he was probably like 16. I don't know if I've told you this story. And I was in my house and we were getting ready for a youth camp. And this youth, he had a tumor, and he was in the hospital, and he was going through chemo and all this, and this surgery, but when they opened his side, they found out that the tumor was too big, so they needed to do chemo, so to reduce the tumor, and then perform surgery at a later date. And he calls me. Somebody gave him he was from the church. And he's like, it was around 11 p.m. He's like, Pastor Enrique, I want you to come and pray for me. Now, sometimes I'm weird. And I'm like, this is what I felt in my heart right then, when he was calling me. And I'm like, are you coming to the youth camp? Okay, youth camp is Friday. He's calling me on Wednesday. He's in the hospital. He has cancer. He's going through surgery. And here's the youth leader, youth pastor, asking him, are you coming to the camp? He's like, no, I'm not allowed to get out of the hospital. I said, but I know if you come and pray for me, I'm going to be healed. And I said, I'm not going to go and I'm not going to pray for you if you don't come to the youth camp on Friday. And I hung up. I'm like, I hope the parents are not there, because they're going to think, what? Who's this pastor? He's crazy. So Friday, then I drove to Acapulco, because I was translating for a pastor. Then I drove back from Acapulco to Cuernavaca, another city, and I was there by myself waiting for the buses with the youth that were coming to the youth camp. And I wasn't thinking of this young boy, because in my carnal mind, I was like, he's not going to come. Now, in my carnal mind, I'm like, I'm not going to pray. He's not going to come. I'm not going to pray. And when he doesn't get healed, nobody's going to say, you see, there's no anointing. I don't know if I'm explaining myself. So I was there waiting for the youth, the three buses, 120 kids show up. And I wasn't thinking of this young boy. And all of a sudden, suddenly, he started coming out of the bus. Somebody else was helping him with the things that they put, I don't know how you say it, with the IV. And they're helping him. I'm like, he's here. And I will have to pray for him. So he sees me. He's like, oh, Pastor Enrique. He's really happy. He was having trouble to walk. And then he's like, it was Friday. And I told him, I'm not going to pray for you today. I'll pray for you on Sunday. Because I'm going to preach about healing on Sunday. He's like, I came all the way down here and you're not going to pray. Okay. So I said to a couple of you guys, of the youth leaders, I said, okay, you guys are going to stay with him in the room. Whenever he can come to the conferences, that's okay. If he's too tired or he's in pain, he can stay in the room. So we did this for Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. We prayed for him on Sunday. We came back to the city on Monday. He went back to the hospital. The doctors went in and did surgery to him and said, there's no tumor. We don't find anything inside of him. I didn't feel any spectacular. But suddenly, there's power in the word of the Lord. One day, I heard Keith Moore tell this story. Pastor Keith Moore, he says that he was in the car with Dad Hagen, and he was the co-pilot or in the driver, and then he was the passenger, and then Kenneth Hagen was on the back sitting, and they were driving him, I don't know, to his house or whatever. And then he says, you know, people that knew Dad Hagen said that he was really quiet, that he will not talk to, he will just, but then he says that they're driving and Keith Moore is in the passenger seat. And then Dad Hagen starts going like this. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Amen, hallelujah. And Keith Moore is, you know, and Dad Hagen is doing this on the back of his seat and touching him. Hey, do you feel it? Do you feel it? Amen, hallelujah. And Keith Moore says, I didn't feel anything. He's like, how am I going to tell Dad Hagen that I don't feel anything? That I'm not in the spirit like he is right now. So he's like, but I have to be honest. He's like, I don't feel anything. And Dad Hagen says, oh, me neither. I was in a church with a pastor. And when I finished preaching, he came to me and he gave me a word. Maybe he ate too much that night, because I don't know what he was saying. And he's like, and he saw my face that I didn't have faith in what he was saying. And he's like, you have to believe it, Pastor. Look, I am shaking. This is from the Lord. I'm like, I don't know. That is not a weakness with my spirit. I don't know what you're saying. I don't understand. He's like, but I'm shaking. I'm like, and you know what? It doesn't matter how hard are you shaking. If it's not from the Lord, it's not from the Lord. And sometimes you are not going to be shaking. And you're going to be just relaxed. And it's going to be from the Lord. And I see a church right here. We are not shaking. But the suddenly is closer than we think. You don't know. Let me finish with this, because if not, it's going to take me to 2 p.m. Well, let me tell you a story. Pastor Tim came to New York, to Nanwe, to ROCC, when Nikki Cruz was here. And he asked Nikki, hey, brother Nikki, why do you think we don't see so much of the move of the Spirit in our churches nowadays? And this is what he said. Because we don't give time for the Holy Spirit to move. He's like, everything is so programmed. I have been in churches where that's what he said, here. Because they were talking in there when he was here. He's like, because I've been in churches where they give me a paper, say, you have 25 minutes to preach. Do you think the Spirit is going to move? Sometimes we come like rushing from the whole week into a Sunday morning service, and we're like, oh, okay, let's get over with the worship, okay, with the word, okay, let's go. Okay. I know that, well, let's read Luke 2. Let's finish. Luke 2, 36, 38 from the New Living Translation. It says, if it's on the screen, it says, Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but stay there day and night, worshiping God and fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting. Say waiting. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. You know the story. Jesus was brought to the temple. This lady was there. And it says that she was a widow. She only had 7 years of marriage, and she became a widow. In some versions, it says that she was probably 104 years old. But she's here waiting 84 years for a suddenly. Now, I know it's not going to take 84 years for us. 84 years, okay? Don't worry. But the story says that she was waiting there for 84 years after she became a widow. And suddenly, the Savior is at his church, at her church. Suddenly, Jesus is there. And she starts telling people about Jesus. He's here. He came to rescue Jerusalem. There's four things that I want to tell you real quick about Anna. First of all, even though she went through a tragedy, she did not become bitter. She wasn't discouraged. She wasn't disappointed. She wasn't bitter. It's really hard to hear the voice of the Lord when we are bitter. I know she went through a tragedy. Her husband died, passed away. But it doesn't matter what we're going through, don't become bitter. I know things don't come, sometimes they don't come out as we want them to come. Okay? I wasn't expected that my wife was going to be diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago. When we came to the States, or 3 years ago, I forgot already what was it. But now she's healed. And when they took the tumor from her throat, the doctor said, there's a risk of you losing your voice. But I can hear her preaching right now. So don't get discouraged when there's things that this lady went through a tragedy, but she kept going to the church. Number two, even though she was very old, she did not stop waiting for the Savior. She kept going to church, and there was no Uber or taxis. Number three, even though a long time had passed away, she did not stop worshiping the Lord. I don't know how long you have been waiting on the Lord, but I'm pretty sure it hasn't been 84 years old. 84 years. And number four, even though she had not seen a sign from the Lord for many years, she did not stop praying daily. Can you imagine being at the church for 84 years? Praying, fasting, worshiping the Lord, 84 years, and suddenly Jesus is at her church. And suddenly those things that you were believing for are happening. And suddenly the day has fully come. Suddenly, the suddenly for this church is closer
than we think. Jeremiah 13:1-8 from the New King James Version. I said I was going to finish, right? But it says here, Jeremiah 13:1-8. I was reading this one day, and it relates to what I'm saying right now. Thus the Lord said to me, go and get yourself a linen sash and put it around your waist, but do not put it in water. Verse 2 says, so I got a sash according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, take the sash that you acquired, which is around your waist, and arise, go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole in the rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. Now it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates, and take from there the sash which I commanded you to hide there. Then I went to the Euphrates and dug and took the sash from the place where I had hidden it, and there was the sash, ruined. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, this is a really interesting story. I was reading it one day, and it relates to what I'm saying. Is there any spectacular in when the Lord tells you, go and buy a belt? No. It's like, okay, buy a belt. You buy a belt. Now wear it. Okay. Now hide it. Sometimes belts hide themselves. Men know that, right? Men. I never find my belts. And I hate to spend money on belts. And he says that then the Lord told him, okay, hide it on the river. And then he's like, okay, now it's time to take it out. And now here's the word. I'm saying this, but because the Lord is probably telling you these simple things. And we have to be ready to what he's saying. Okay, I promise you, I will finish with this story. Brother Ikpe, that's how you pronounce his name? The Okay. I know the pastor's announced already that we're having a Spanish service with him next year. Okay. We were at the restaurant eating, praise the Lord. And I just told a brother, Gui. And I said, let's have a service in Spanish. You preach and I'll translate it for you. He's like, oh, that sounds great. Let's do it. And he's like, but tell Pastor Ed. And Pastor Greg, and said, then I told Pastor, and he's like, yeah. And then next Sunday, they were announcing, okay, we have no service. Or next meeting, they were announcing, next Saturday, or next year. Okay. When I would tell him, let's have a Spanish service, I'm going to translate for you, a healing service, I heard a voice, probably the devil or my flesh, saying, because I told him, we're going to invite pastors around the area to come and be part of the service. And I heard a voice saying, who are you going to invite if you don't know anybody? You don't know nobody. Nobody knows you here. And I kind of got discouraged. But I already told them, let's do the service. Then I saw my played and I want to be fine. So I kept eating. And then they announced the event. And that next week, after he left, somebody called me on a Monday. And I saw my phone, and I had the area code from here, Spring Valley, or 835, I think it is. And I'm like, okay, that one. And I'm like, I'm going to answer it because probably somebody from the church. I answered the phone, and he's like, Pastor, can you come and preach in our church? I'm like, and I got confused because there is a pastor that has come to ROCC Español on Sundays. He meets on Saturdays, and he comes on Sundays to this church. And I thought that was him. And I said, Pastor Victor, how you doing? It's nice that you're back from your trip. Because I knew he went through a trip. And he's like, can you come on Saturday? I'm having a marriage retreat, a marriage conference. I said, yeah, I can come. I'm like, but hold on, let me, because we opened the flower shop on Saturday, so I have to find somebody to help us to be at the store. So let me just double check with Jesse. And so I hung up, and he's like, but let me know if you can come. I said, I'll let you know right away. So I checked with my wife. Oh, we couldn't find anybody. So I called him like at night. I said, I text him. I said, I'm not going to be able. I cannot find anybody. And then I told Jesse that night, you know what? I feel in my heart that we have to go to help Pastor Victor. And so next day, I wrote to a lady that knows us from Mexico City when we used to be pastors there. And I'm like, are you available to help us on Saturday to open the store with my kids? She's like, yeah, I can go. So I text the pastor back and I said, Pastor, I found somebody. I can go. If you still need me, if you haven't found somebody, I can still go. He's like, but for sure, are you coming? I said, yeah, I can go. So I got there on Saturday around 8:30 a.m. And now the address is around like 5 minutes from here. So I drive there, and I went into the building, took the steps to the second floor. And I'm like, there were some people there. And I said, I'm looking for Pastor Victor. And they're like, there's no Pastor Victor here. I'm like, maybe I have the wrong address. So I said to my wife, there's no Pastor Victor. So let's go downstairs. There's another church downstairs. There were some worship music downstairs. So we went in, and I asked for Pastor Victor. They're like, there's no Pastor Victor here. So we went upstairs again. I said, are you guys having a meeting here, a marriage meeting? They told me, yeah. So Pastor Victor is here. They're like, there's no Pastor Victor here. The pastor's name is Carlos. I'm like, but are you guys having a marriage conference? They're like, yeah. And he's like, are you from Mexico? I'm like, yeah. Your name is Enrique? I said, yes. So we're waiting for you. I'm like, wait, but Pastor Victor, where's Pastor Victor? They're like, there's no Pastor Victor here. Pastor Carlos is the pastor for this church. So I'm like, well, so where's the pastor? So the pastor was there at the altar praying with some other leaders. So I went sneaking. I'm like, oh, yeah, but that's not Pastor Victor. I said, well, okay, I'm going to wait here. I said, Jesse. And they looked like a traditional church. And we're like, oh, okay, let's behave. So they finished praying. The pastor comes to me. And he's like, he shakes my hand and says, hi, I'm Pastor Carlos. Are you Pastor Enrique? I'm like, yes. But you are not Pastor Victor, right? He's like, no, my name is not Victor. I'm like, so who invited me here? I told him because I thought Pastor Victor is the one that called me. He's like, no, I'm not Pastor Victor. I don't know Pastor Victor. I'm like, you don't know Pastor Victor? Because Pastor Victor has many churches. So I thought maybe he told one of his pastors, called Pastor Enrique, he can come help you. I'm like, okay, this is weird. That's what I was thinking. He's like, I was praying on Monday, and God told me to call you, invited you to preach this Saturday. I'm like, okay, but where do you know me from? He's like, I was there one day in ROCC when Gigi Avila was here, and I had a number, and somebody told me that there was a Spanish-speaking pastor, and the Lord told me to call you. And then I was preaching to them. They have like 400 people in their church, and they're from they speak Spanish, but they speak another language that is called Quechua from the Amazons in Ecuador. I'm like, wow. Suddenly, and this is what the Lord told me. Now you know a pastor, and a pastor knows you. And there's going to be a healing service in Spanish next year. Amen? Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. Father, we magnify you. Father, we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we believe. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we believe in your word. We believe in you. Hallelujah. 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 We know, Lord, you don't make any mistakes. Hallelujah. 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 And we are here for a reason, Lord. Hallelujah. And we believe you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you told us that in the last days, you will pour of your spirit upon every flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you are here, Lord, pouring out of your spirit. Hallelujah. Over this church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Gloria a ti, Señor. Te alabamos, Padre. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We believe. Oh, yes, Lord. We are ready, Lord. We are ready, Lord. And we are ready to obey. Fully obey. Fully obey. We are going to fully obey, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Just lead us. Guide us, Lord. We are ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, rabange sitarabra kesetere brakandere. So rabandere brakaso tarabakandere brekendere. And suddenly, ha, yes, Lord, ha. Rebrandere brakason daram brekendere brakandere. Sobra candere, se brendere, and suddenly, oh, rabandere, brequisa, tara, braca, setere, bracandere. Oh, yes, ha, bracandere, bracande, bracandere, oh, rabandere, que si tara, bracandere, oh, rebrendere, bracandere. Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Suddenly, oh, suddenly, what you be believing for, haha, is coming to pass. Suddenly, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. You are Lord, haha. You are Lord. And we know, Lord, that your heart is to more people to come to you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is good. Hallelujah. Come on. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. says in the book of Acts, when they were in one accord, they were in one place. Suddenly. What brought on the suddenly? They were in one accord, and they were in one place. And it wasn't necessarily they were in one place, meaning they were in one location. Their hearts were one. They were in one accord. Their hearts were one. And suddenly happened. I agree with Pastor Enrique that suddenly is coming. But we have to make sure that we are fully, this may not sound right, but we are fully in one accord and fully in one place. God said that he placed members, every one of them, in a body as it pleased him. And the reason he did it was so there'd be no schism. The reason he did it was so that the body would be in one accord and in one place, so suddenlies can happen suddenly. So here's the deal. Pastor Enrique, I'm going to ask you to come back. And those of you who want to be in one accord and in one place are going to come and line up and we're going to lay hands on you. Because suddenly is coming to Redeeming Love Christian Center. Suddenly is coming. God knew what he wanted to do when he started with the offering. Come on, I'm only doing one call. I'm not going to beg anybody. Just come line up. If you need to double the line, that's fine. We'll go up and down the line. But suddenly it's coming to this place. We're going to be in one accord. We're in one place. We're of one heart. We're of one mind. We're in that place of agreement where God can command the suddenly.